Okay, I'm going to be talking about The Prospering Power of Love. You may have seen this book. Mm-hmm. The cover may look familiar. I read this for the first time 20 years ago, I realized. And there are phrases in the book that stuck with me, but I hadn't picked it up again until I started to prepare for the talk. And since then, I've read it at least two, maybe three times. It's a really short read, a little over 100 pages, and it's well worth it. So Catherine Ponder is a Unity minister. I believe she's still alive. She was born in 1927. And I asked Google if she was still alive, and Google seemed to think so.
So I was going to say if she died. So.
Yes, I think we would have heard. So she's best known for her books and lectures on prosperity. And if you go on Amazon, you'll find a lot of books. Her most famous book on prosperity is available for free for Kindle on Amazon. So you may want to download it.
What's that one called?
The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, I believe. Mm-hmm. So this particular book was first published in 1966, and what it was a series of articles that were put together and then published in a book form, and the copyright was transferred to her in 1983, so there was roughly 20 years for her to live with the ideas and then rewrite it a bit. As you're reading through the book, you'll find a lot of references to the first edition. And she is sometimes described as the Norman Vincent Peale among lady ministers. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, so she would have been, when she was born, she could have known Ernest Holmes, but probably didn't. She went down the Unity path, and I think you'll find as I proceed in my talk that some of their vocabulary is different, but the concepts are basically the same. So Catherine Ponder, I guess shortly after writing this, the first version of this book, she was married and had a small child. Her husband suddenly died. And yet she continued traveling and talking. And she always carried this book with her. And the more she read the book, the better her life became, which is a good clue. Go buy the book and your life will get better. And she often, as a minister, recommended the book to other people that were having issues in their life of one kind or another. And so it helped her a lot, and you can really see that her idea, she kept adding to the original edition of the book. So it's a wonderful treat to kind of look into her mind as you're reading this and realize that, you know, it did help her a lot. She eventually married again. And was happy, and you're going to hear some quotes in here. She draws extensively not only from the Fillmores, who were the founder of the Unity movement, but also Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was the teacher of teachers. She was Ernest Holmes' teacher, taught the Fillmores, so she's like the mother of New Thought, and Emmett Fox as well, who's a well-known New Thought teacher. So she offers several techniques in this book that I'm going to cover, and that's one of the things I like is it's a practical book. There's a lot of how-tos in there, in addition to covering some testimonials from people that had used the techniques and found that they worked. So I'm going to talk about the miracle of love, releasing, forgiveness, appreciation, and writing to your angel. She starts out by talking about the miracle of love, which can be produced deliberately by us, just as we're able to, from the wind or from the sun generate electricity, we can also generate love. And we can do that consciously. And we start out by realizing that love is within us, or as Lynn said in her song, it's always there beside you, right? And it can be released through your thoughts, your feelings, your words, and your actions. And it'll free you from any chains of the past, any... Just... the effect of contacting that love within us is to multiply it. As you touch it, it begins to grow. It's like if you pour vinegar on baking soda, it starts to bubble up and out. So it has the effect of attracting you to the right people, situations, and conditions that will add to your own success and happiness. And, of course, this is before there was a lot of writing about law of attraction, so that's basically what it is. It's law of attraction. And what I understand her to really mean is that we are divine beings and that we embody love all the time. It's always there. And all I need to do is remember that and reconnect with that part of myself. The first example she gives in the book about connecting with that love is about a woman who'd been arguing with her husband. And I know this has never happened to you, Allison, but he stormed out of the house. And frequently he wouldn't even come back that night. So she had just learned some of these principles and she decided to try it out. During this particular crisis, and she affirmed, "I call on divine love to heal our marriage now. I call on divine love to straighten out and adjust this situation." And as she said those words, she began to feel peace coming over her. And gradually, you know, she apparently made some dinner, his favorite meal, and then he came home. It was a miracle. He was in a good frame of mind, and he brought her candy, which I don't know, that wouldn't do it for me, but a bottle of wine would be better. So gradually their arguments became fewer and their marriage was peaceful. So the point is that the words and the thoughts of love produce more good in your life. And as Emmett Fox once wrote, "There's no difficulty that love will not conquer," and that's really true. I'm sure each of you has stories about when you felt that connection to that power within yourself, more good comes to you. And so these principles, of course, can be used in every area of our lives, in our with regard to our health, relationships, prosperity, employment. There's an endless list. And then, because we're going through an organizational change at work, we're going through a change of command, we're getting a new admiral, it's particularly struck me how it really worked in a troubled organization. And I'm not saying my organization is troubled, but whenever you go through some kind of change like that, there's typically some churn. And so here's how it worked for this particular organization. They weren't getting along, they didn't have enough money, they weren't making sales, blah, blah, blah. And they would meet every morning, and they began to affirm that divine love is doing its perfect work here and now. Divine love harmonizes. Divine love adjusts. Divine love prospers. Divine love foresees everything and richly provides every good thing for this organization now. Divine love is now victorious. And I know you won't be surprised, but what happened was that the attitudes at work became more harmonious and people began working together cooperatively as opposed to fighting. So over time, new people came to the organization. And there was new activity. Their business prospered and they were given a lot of gifts that improved the building that they worked in. And so it began to shine as opposed to being a really negative atmosphere. And the business continued to grow because of the daily affirmation of divine love pervading the organization. Now next, Ponder recommends fasting from negative memories of the past. And so that means anything like a grudge that somebody may have, criticism that you may have received, feeling spiteful or feeling like you've been treated unjustly. If you can pour divine love into those memories and it'll free you from them. And so what you see is that you can apply the divine love principle not only to current situations in the future, but also the past. So this is, you know, as you begin to apply it, it becomes more and more powerful. There is nothing that this power can't heal. Now, releasing itself is a form of forgiveness, and emotional release is one of the highest forms of love, since attachment leads to bondage. And we need to free the things that we love and to let them go. Ponder says, "You." I love it. That you never lose anything through release. Instead, you open the way for a freer, more satisfying type of love to develop, where everyone involved is able to give and receive love in a more harmonious way. If you feel you've lost something, it might be because you've actually outgrown it. And this should help you open your mind to receive your new and higher good. So when you set a person free that you love, you're no longer bound to them, like their attitudes and their way of life. And if we continue to do that, it's certainly more positive than trying to make people over in our image. As a mother, I know that. And this applies, you think about situations with your spouse, or partner, your employees, and perhaps your parents. As you get older and your parents are aging, you want them to do certain things, and they aren't necessarily willing to do that. Exactly. But I think, in terms of our children, they're the ones that we need to let go the most as they age. So when we are... when we're trying to get others to do our bidding, what ends up happening is that we are binding them and creating a possessive situation. That's definitely a situation that we would like to release. Forgiveness itself is a form of release. And one of my favorite quotes, all-time favorite quotes on forgiveness, is by Emmett Fox. He says, "When you hold resentment against anyone, you're bound to that person by a cosmic link. A real, though mental, chain. You are tied by a cosmic tie to the thing you hate. The one person, perhaps in the whole world, whom you most dislike is the very one to whom you are attaching yourself by a hook that is stronger than steel." Wow. Oh my goodness. I think about that. And, when I've been in situations where I had to do some real forgiveness, I just kept reminding myself, do I really want to be attached to them? No. And so it's easier to let go when you think of it, forgiveness is unhooking yourself from another person. Praise, or what we call appreciation in the Abraham world, can expand the good that you attract to you, the things that you appreciate, you get more of. And so it's one of the strongest forms of life and love, and appreciation of beauty and experiencing joy are two ways that you can increase the good that comes to you. The last technique I wanted to cover, and the power of love that she talks about in the book, is another method of clearing inharmonious ideas from our consciousness. And this is writing to our angels. Ponder says that true words are angels. So what you would do is you write to a person's general angel, and you may get more specific. You may start naming angels like the angel of protection, of healing, of love, marriage, or prosperity, or wealth. And she got these ideas from reading Emma Curtis Hopkins. So that's where this came from. And so an example of writing to an angel is to the angel of divine protection, the angel of pink purses. The angel of divine protection goes before me, shielding me from any negative experiences. Or the angel of divine protection goes before me and prepares my way. Well, this sounds pretty basic. I'm not sure we'd need to write it down. I think holding it in your head is good enough. So the techniques I just covered are basic and fundamental to all new thought ideas. And the main difference is the vocabulary. And I've been applying a lot of this myself since reading the book this time around, and I have found it really helpful. I have found that, for instance, if I go into work and I, you know, I affirm that divine love precedes me in all of the paths I take during my work day, that it really helps. There's a lot of practical application for this, and I highly recommend it. If you have a doctor's appointment, you know, you can go in and you could say, divine love is making this appointment perfect, and it's very clear, and, you know, there aren't too many situations that you can't use this in. Even going to the grocery store.
Yes.
So I wanted to close with one of my favorite quotes from Emma Curtis Hopkins that she has in this book. She says, everything is really full of love for you. The good that is for you loves you as much as you love in. The good that is for you seeks you and will come flying to you if you see that which you love is love itself. All people will change when you know that they are love. We shall change toward all people when we know that we ourselves are formed out of love. All is love. There's nothing in the universe but love. And so it is.
So it is.
Thank you.
What is that?